I welcome this opportunity to be with you all, to sit in this chair, to listen to God's word with attentiveness, to try to shut my mind off from all the things that perhaps it's been thinking about, and find rest in the Lord. Let us begin our shortened divine office by making the sign of the cross. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We also need to pray for the Holy Father's monthly intentions, but we can do that near the end. Antiphon for our prayer from Psalm 64. O Lord, guard my life from the menace of the foe. Hear my voice, O God, as I complain. Guard my life from dread of the foe. Hide me from the band of the wicked, from the throng of those who do evil. O Lord, guard my life from the menace of the foe. They sharpen their tongues like swords. They aim bitter words like arrows to shoot at the innocent from ambush, shooting suddenly and recklessly. O Lord, guard my life from the menace of the foe. They scheme their evil course. They conspire to lay secret snares. They say, who will see us? Who can search out our crimes? Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Just pray that Mary leads us to rest in God today. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Guide us, O Lord. Free us from the throngs of those who are controlled by the evil one. Free us from the system of this passing world. Free us from the darkness all around us. Blessed be you, who are God forever. Blessed be you, who are God forever. Blessed be you, in your infinite truth and goodness. Blessed be God forever. Let's see what we have. We're reading through the second letter of the Apostle Paul to the Corinthians. The verse introducing our lesson from Scripture and tradition is, all wondered at the words of grace which came from the mouth of the Lord. A reading from the second letter of the Apostle Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 10, verse 1 through 11, verse 6, Paul's defense. I, Paul, exhort you by the meekness and kindness of Christ, I who you say was present in your midst, I who you say when present in your midst, am lowly, but when absent am bold toward you. I beg you that when I am here, there, I may not have to act boldly. With that assurance I might dare to use courageously against certain ones who accuse us of weak human behavior. We do indeed live in the body, but we do not wage war with human resources. The weapons of our warfare are not merely human. They possess God's power for the destruction of strongholds. We demolish sophistries and every proud pretension that raises itself against the knowledge of God. We likewise bring every thought into captivity to make it obedient to Christ. We are ready to punish disobedience in anyone else once your own obedience is perfect. You view things superficially. If anyone is convinced that he belongs to Christ, let him reflect on this. He may belong to Christ, but just as much as we do. If I find I must make a few further claims about the power the Lord has given us for your upbuilding and not for your destruction, this will not embarrass me in the least. At the same time, I do not wish to intimidate you with my letters. His letters, they say, are severe and forceful. But when he is here in person, he is unimpressive, and his word makes no great impact. Well, let such people give this some thought, that what we are by word in the letters during our absence, that we mean to be in action when we are present. We are not so bold, of course, as to classify or compare ourselves with certain people who recommend themselves, since people like that are their own appraisers. Comparing themselves with one another, they only demonstrate their ignorance. When we make claims, we will not go over the mark, but will stay within the bounds of the God of moderation has set for us, leading us to you. We are not overreaching ourselves as we should be doing if we had not bothered to come to you. But indeed, we did get as far as you with the gospel of Christ. We do not boast immoderately of the work of others. We hope that as your faith grows, our influence may also grow among you and overflow. Following the rule laid down for us, we hope to preach the gospel even beyond your borders without having to boast of work already done by another in his allotted territory. Let him who would boast, boast in the Lord. It is not the man who recommends himself who is approved, but the man whom the Lord recommends. You must endure a little of my folly. Put up with me. I beg you, I am jealous of you with the jealousy of God himself, since I have given you in marriage to one husband, presenting you as a chaste virgin to Christ. My fear is that just as the serpent seduced Eve by his cunning, your thoughts may be corrupted and you may fall away from your sincere and complete devotion to Christ. I say this because when someone comes preaching another Jesus than the one we preached, or when you receive a different spirit than the one you received, or a gospel other than the gospel you accepted, you seem to endure it quite well. I consider myself inferior to the super apostles in nothing. I may be unskilled in speech, but I know that I am not lacking in knowledge. We have made this evident to you in every conceivable way. Responsory prayer. Though we live in this world, we do not rely solely on the resources of the world to do battle. Our warfare is not waged with the weapons of this world. We arm ourselves with the shield of faith and with the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Our warfare is not waged with the weapons of this world. And let's see what we have for our great doctor and bishop, St. Peter Chrysologus, born in 380, entering the priesthood, elected bishop of Renovina in 424, and instructed his flock by his learned sermons, considered very special, called a doctor of the church. Reading from a sermon by St. Peter Chrysologus, bishop. The virgin conceived, bore a son, and yet remained a virgin. This is no common occurrence, but a sign. No reason here but God's power, for he is the cause and not nature. It is a special human event. It is a special event, not a human event. It's a special event, not shared by others. It is divine, not human. Christ's birth was not necessary, but an expression of omnipotence, a sacrament of piety for the redemption of men. He who made man without generation from pure clay, made man again and was reborn, was born from a pure body. The hand that assumed clay to make our flesh, deigned to assume a body for our salvation. That the Creator is in his creature and God is in the flesh brings dignity to man without dishonor to him who made him. Why then, man, are you so worthless in your own eyes and yet so precious to God? Why render yourself such dishonor when you are honored by him? Why do you ask how you were created and do not seek to know why you were made? Was not this entire visible universe made for your dwelling? It was made for you that the light dispelled the overshadowing gloom. For your sake was the night regulated and the day measured, and for you was the heavens embellished with the varying brilliance of the sun, the moon, and the stars. The earth was adorned with flowers, groves, and fruit, and the constant marvelous variety of loving living things was created in the air, the fields, and the seas for you, lest sad solitude destroy the joy of God's new creation. And the Creator still works to devise things that can add to your glory. He has made you in his image, that you might in your person make the invisible Creator present on earth. He has made you his legate, so that the vast empire of the world might have the Lord's representative. Then, in his mercy, God assumed what he made in you. He wanted now to be truly manifest in man, just as he had wished to be revered in man, as in an image. Now he would be in reality what he had submitted to be in symbol. And so Christ is born, that by his birth he might restore our nature. He became a man, was fed, and grew, that he might inaugurate the one perfect age to remain forever as he had created it. He supports man, that man might no longer fall, and the creature he had formed of earth he now makes heavenly. And what he has endowed with the human soul he now vivifies to become a heavenly spirit. In this way, he fully raised God, man to God, and left in him neither sin nor death, nor travail nor pain, nor anything earthly, with the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with the Father in the unity of the Holy Spirit, now and forever. For all the ages of eternity. Amen. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Come near to Christ, the living stone. You too must be living stones built up in him. Jesus is the stone which must become the cornerstone. You too must be living stones built up in him. That's the main part of our divine office today. Peter Chrysologus talks about something that's becoming more and more relevant in our theology today, like the Anglican scholar N.T. Wright talks about. God in Christ is making of us a new creation. We are his legates. Even by nature, we were designed to be his images, his representatives, his legates for all of creation. And Peter is very brilliant at this. He's explaining something so deep and making it relatable and interesting to us. Then in the first reading we have St. Paul, ever spirited, isn't he? Responding to these people that say that they're super apostles, that they're better than Paul. Paul lacks knowledge and lacks information, and he's not a good speaker, and that he's not persuasive. And I think that he's stood the test of time to show us that he is persuasive and filled with knowledge. But it's an image of, again, it's probably the clearest part in Paul's scriptures where you see this idea of the minister and the community, the nuptial analogy. Paul doesn't say that he's like a bridegroom, but he says that the church is like Eve, like betrothed to Christ. It's kind of interesting. Scholars say it's a rabbinical image. So anyway, let's go back and see what we can do on this feast of Peter Chrysologus. First, let's have a little bit of spiritual reading from St. Faustina's diary. Did I read the part about profound peace? She says, I have wasted many of God's graces because I was always afraid of being deluded. It's nice to know even Faustina messed up in her life, right? God drew me to himself so powerfully that often it was not in my power to resist his grace. When I was suddenly immersed in him. At these moments, Jesus filled me with such great peace that later on, even when I tried to become uneasy, I could not do so. And when I heard these words in my soul, in order that you be assured that it is I who am demanding all these things of you, I will give you such profound peace that even if you wanted to feel troubled and frightened, it would not be in your power to do so today, but love will flood your soul to the point of self-oblivion. Later, Jesus gave me another priest, Father Sopochko, before whom he ordered me to reveal my soul. At first, I did so with a bit of hesitation, but a severe reprimand from Jesus brought about a deep humility within my soul. Under his direction, my soul made quick progress in the love of God, and many wishes of the Lord were carried out externally. And it has a footnote telling you to look in the glossary in the back under note 46 to see what the researchers think that may be. Many a time have I been astonished at his courage and profound humility. Let's see if we can look that note up. I'm curious to see what it's like using the diary in accord with the note section. It says the saint had in mind here the fulfillment of God's desires regarding the painted image of Christ with the red and pale rays and the signature, "Jesus, I trust in you," the public veneration of the image and the making known of the chaplet and novena to divine mercy. All these demands were realized as a result of the endeavors of Father Sopochko. Oh, how wretched my soul is for having wasted so many graces. I was running away from God, and he pursued me with his graces. I most often experienced God's graces when I least expected them. From the moment he gave me a spiritual director, I have been more faithful to grace. Thanks to the director and his watchfulness over my soul, I have learned what guidance means and how Jesus looks at it. Jesus warned me of the least fault and stressed that he himself judges the matter that I present to my confessor, and he told me that any transgressions against the confessor touch me myself. When under his direction, my soul began to experience deep recollection peace. I often heard these words in my soul, "Strengthen yourself for combat," repeated over and over at various times. Jesus often makes known to me what he does not like in my soul, and he has more than once rebuked me for what seemed to be trifles, but which were in fact things of great importance. He has warned me and tried me like a master. For many years he himself educated me, until the moment when he gave me a spiritual director. Previously he himself had made clear to me what I did not understand, but now he tells me to ask my confessor about everything, and often says, "I will answer you through his mouth, be at peace." It has never happened to me that I have received an answer which was contrary to what the Lord wanted of me when I presented it to the spiritual director, Father Sopochko. It sometimes happens that Jesus first asks certain things of me about which no one knows anything, and then when I kneel at the confessional, my confessor gives me the same order. However, this is infrequent. When over a long period of time a soul has received much light and many inspirations, and when the confessors have confirmed the source of these inspirations and set the soul at peace, if its love is great, Jesus now makes it known that it is time to put into action what it has received. The soul recognizes that God is counting on it, and this knowledge fortifies it. It knows that to be faithful it will often have to face various difficulties, but it trusts in God, and thanks to this trust it reaches the point to which God is calling it. Alright, so very, very interesting, right? Let's see if we can pray the Chaplet of Divine Mercy. It's such a powerful prayer. We pray for your intentions and for all of our most urgent needs right after this collect prayer. Father, you made St. Peter Chrysologus an outstanding preacher of your incarnate word. May the prayers of St. Peter help us to cherish the mystery of our salvation and make its meaning clear in our love for others. Grant this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you, and the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. Let's go and see if we can get those intercessions. I know I said we were going to go straight over to the chaplet, but I forgot. I want to add some intercessions to our shortened divine office. In all that we do, let the name of the Lord be praised, for he surrounds his chosen people with boundless love. Let our prayer rise up to him. Lord, show us your love. Remember your church, Lord. Keep her from every evil, and let her grow in the fullness, to the fullness of your love. Lord, show us your love. Let the nations recognize you as the one true God, and your Son Jesus as the Messiah whom you sent. Lord, show us your love. Grant prosperity to our neighbors. Give them life and happiness forever. Lord, show us your love. Console those who are burdened with oppressive work and daily hardships. Preserve the dignity of workers. Lord, show us your love. Grant that Pope Leo's first teaching document be filled with luminous wisdom and exceptional clarity and divine insight, fortify him against the pressures of this system, of the status quo in the world around him. Lord, show us your love. Continue to guide the pontificate of St. Peter's successor, Pope Leo XIV. Look upon us with your kindness and show us your mercy. Grant us your consolation and salvation. Lord, show us your love. Open wide the doors of your compassion to those who have died today, and in your mercy receive them into your kingdom. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood. So I believe in God, the Father, the Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father, the Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. I offer my partial or plenary indulgence for the soul in purgatory. May he or she be helped in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Have a great rest of your night.